So I've had the opportunity to work, as I mentioned, in different organizations with different levels of commitment to learning. But as AI progresses, I see the learning and development field becoming more integral to the business and becoming more and more of a business partner than ever before.
You're listening to Learning Leader Spotlight, interviews with corporate L&D leaders. On each episode, we sit down with key industry experts to discover more about what's happening in the world of learning and development, from current trends and insights to the most valuable lessons learned along the way. Join us for a fresh perspective on all things training and the best direction forward. Here's your host, Leanne Lankford.
Hi, welcome to Learning Leader Spotlight, the podcast where we interview the learning leaders of today to help the learning leaders of tomorrow. I'm your host, Leanne Lankford. I'm the president of Training Pros. Training Pros is a learning and development contract staffing company where we like to say, when you have more projects than people, let us find the right consultant to start your project with confidence. I'm really excited to welcome my guest today. It's a friend of mine and a colleague from ATD where we serve together. It's John Torres, Senior VP Academy Excellence from Bank of America. Welcome, John.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Thanks so much. Let's just dive right in. Why don't you share with our audience a 60-second overview of who you are and what you do?
Yeah, happy to do that. So I always like to start by telling everyone that my purpose in life is really about helping others be successful. It's kind of permeated through every aspect of my life. I spent a lot of time, obviously, I have four beautiful daughters with my wife, and we had to help them grow into being contributing members of society. And I'm grateful three of the four are already doing that. I have one more to go. But I also make a lot of decisions that I do with my professional life around that as well, which is why I've stayed in learning development for over 30 years. And to be quite honest with you, I've been asked to go into human resources role. I've been asked to go into business roles, but I've always stayed in learning development because that's where my passion is. In learning development, I've had the luxury of working in multiple industries as well. So I've worked in manufacturing, working for both Honeywell and Rock 10, which is now Westrock. And I've also worked in pest control services, where I worked in a company called Rollins, and then now in financial services for the last 5 years, working for Bank of America. So I am an Academy executive, as you mentioned. Academy is our learning organization, and I help support all of the retail banking business, which is all of our contact centers that we have within the bank, which is about 30,000 people in the bank.
So that was a really good overview. Thank you.
My pleasure.
You may have already answered a little bit of this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway, which is, what first attracted you to learning and development?
So I'm going to go really back far. I'm going to go back about 30, 31 years. I was working in manufacturing. I was working for a company called Ademco. Ademco was acquired by Honeywell. And while I was working there, I attended a leadership program, and a gentleman by the name of Phil Bromley was facilitating the program. And he was an external consultant, worked for Belgard, Fisher & Rayner. And Phil was just amazing in his delivery approach. And everything that he taught was just, it just resonated with me. And so much to the point where I applied everything that I learned, and I thought to myself, it made significant improvements in the work areas that I supported at Ademco. So much to the point that I started thinking to myself, wow, I would really love to do that kind of work, you know? So he really inspired me to make the career transition. So that's really what attracted me to the field.
That's a good story. I find that a lot of us found our way here through just getting our first training job or first, you know, like, small attempt to train and say, that was fun. I enjoyed that.
Well, I do, as a production manager, production supervisor, I did train people. And believe it or not, that really is not the thing that really intrigued me. What intrigued me is seeing Phil just work his magic in front of the group. It was just, like I said, inspiring. It was really just magical, to be quite honest with you. And I still remember, I can envision it today. That's how much of an impact it made on me. So
that's great. But that's the dream of all these folks who do facilitation, though, to have an impact.
That's right. Absolutely.
So you've mentioned you've been in L&D a while. What are the biggest changes you've seen over the last few years?
Well, obviously, the biggest change has been the impact that the pandemic has had on the industry. And it's not going away. And what I mean by that is virtual self-paced learning is more prevalent today than it ever has been before. And like I said, it's not going to go away. It's helped reduce expenses significantly in organizations. So the reality is that that's going to be something that we're going to have to continually deal with and figure out how to integrate into our learning strategy moving forward. When gone are the days of, you know, neutral programs where you're teaching new employees and you're even coaching people face to face, a lot of the coaching is done virtually. A lot of the mentoring is done virtually. So how do we do that? How do we teach those peer mentors to do things virtually versus mentoring where you're face to face and you can actually have a different kind of impact? You can have the same kind of impact, but it's just got to be different the way you approach it. So I think that's probably been the biggest change. And then obviously the infusion of AI. And we still don't know how impactful that is because it's still in its nascent stage right now. But it's going to have a dramatic impact in a lot of things that we do, not just in how we deliver and help the retention of learning for participants, but I think it's going to have a significant impact on how we design, develop training as well. So I think it's got a tremendous amount of potential, but it's got to be done right. I don't think it can be done on its own. I think it's got to be an integrated approach of human involvement as well as the automated solution that the technology brings. So
those are two really big changes. You're absolutely right. And I'm eager to see what's going to happen with the AI, which leads me to my next question. Where do you see us headed in the next 5 to 10 years in L&D? What do you think we're going to be focusing on?
So I have had the opportunity to work, as I mentioned, in different organizations with different levels of commitment to learning. But as AI progresses, I see the learning and development field becoming more integral to the business and becoming more and more of a business partner than ever before. I think those organizations where learning and development are under human resources are going to struggle versus those organizations where they're reporting directly into the business leaders. However, I think with the infusion of AI and the access to information and the ability to, I think there's going to be greater opportunities for us to reinforce and demonstrate the impact learning can really have in an organization to be able to demonstrate greater value. I think that's been the hardest thing for the learning and development field, is really showing and reinforcing the impact that learning has had on people performance as well as business performance. So I think AI is going to give us that opportunity more so than ever before. It's starting to already, but I think that as a result of that, learning and development is going to be more integral to the business. And I think it's going to have an impact on the amount of resources some organizations have. Some organizations work extremely lean. If you're in a small to mid-sized business, you're probably operating very lean to begin with. But in the larger organizations where we have a lot of resources, I think those resources will become more streamlined for sure.
So let's shift gears for a second and let's talk about your past again. So who's been the most influential professional mentor that you've had?
So I still think that I have two that had the greatest impact on me. And one I mentioned already, his name is Phil Bromley. Even though Phil was an external consultant, he played an instrumental role in my transition from manufacturing to training. So after I attended the program, I stayed in touch with Phil and he continued to coach me on my leadership skills while I was implementing some of the changes that I made in the area of the business that I supported. It was final assembly. I ran the final assembly department for ADEMCO, which is a pretty large department. It had a couple hundred people. And to be quite honest with you, my boss came to me and said, what are you doing that you're making such a big impact in the business. I said, well, to be honest with you, I'm training people on the work that they're supposed to be doing. They really haven't been trained very well. They didn't understand the business. They didn't understand the components that they were working with. They didn't understand the tools that they used. So I did a significant amount of education, and then I empowered people. I empowered to do some work and make some decisions that they didn't really need me for, right? So my boss then said, well, what do we need to do to, you know, have a broader impact? I said, unfortunately, it's really dependent on the leaders that you have on the front lines, as well as the people. So we don't have a training function. I think it's an opportunity for us to create a training function. And as a result, we started a training function. And if it wasn't fulfilled, I wouldn't have been able to even make my way through how to even make the proposal to start that training function. So Phil played an instrumental role in my transition. And even as I transitioned into the role, he played an instrumental role. But then the second person is really Kathy Engel, who was the VP of Human Resources, who I actually went to work for. She was amazing. We didn't have a formal development plan, but man, did she give me exposure to talent that really gave me a lot of insights. She sent me to a lot of workshops on how to deliver training effectively, how to manage the training function, how to design, develop training. I got exposure to thought leaders in the professional development space, as well as in the design development space. I was working with people from Fordham University. She really gave me a tremendous start that I really attest my success to that humble beginnings back 30 years ago.
Those are two great stories. I love that you had a couple of good mentors, and I'm a big advocate for mentorship and, you know, for everyone to find a mentor on their way up. And once you've gotten to where you are, become a mentor for someone.
Oh, absolutely.
This episode is brought to you by Training Pros, the award-winning contract staffing agency that works exclusively with learning and development professionals to match the right consultants to client projects. If you're in corporate L&D and have more projects than people, let the industry practitioners at Training Pros provide you with the right L&D consultant to start your project with confidence. Find out how we make finding quality consultants easy by scheduling a consultation at www.trainingpros.com.
Let's shift gears again. What is one of the most, or what are the most important skills that people need to have today?
So I kind of book it into three categories: business acumen, leadership acumen, and then functional acumen, depending on what functional area you're in. So business acumen, I think, is instrumental no matter what kind of role you have. You need to understand how your business makes money. You need to understand the inputs and outputs that help your business operate in order to make that money, right? So having that good understanding, if you're a learning professional, if you're a talent professional, having that awareness and understanding builds your credibility, especially with the clients that you support, right? So business acumen is number one for sure. Second then is leadership acumen and your ability to influence, especially in the kind of roles that we're talking about. Not everybody is a manager or a director or a vice president of learning. So the title helps with influencing. I'm not going to deny that. I hate it, but it's the truth. So individual contributors, the way you're going to influence is by building your leadership skills. How do you communicate effectively? How do you build relationships? How do you manage your stakeholders? All those things are things that are not part of the technical functional aspects of your work that are instrumental and critical to your success. And then finally, being really good at what you do. If you're an instructional designer, be the best instructional designer you can be. That's the functional acumen I'm talking about. If you're a facilitator, be the best facilitator you can be. Look at Phil Bradley as an example. To this day, I still remember the impact he's made, right? So being the best you can be helps you be more successful, right? So if you're a talent professional, understanding, you know, the talent management processes that you have in your organization, from performance management to succession planning, et cetera. If you're a change management professional, you know, focusing on org design and understanding organizations, not principles, anything that you're doing, be the best you can be at it. So that this way, that to help build your credibility as well. So those are the three things that I always tell people. Worry about your business acumen, your leadership acumen, and your functional acumen.
Great advice. I particularly think, you know, of course you have to have the functional acumen, but the business acumen is critical for us to have, especially in L&D. It's easy to forget about the actual business that we're serving besides the L&D part of it.
Yeah, and it's always interesting because I've been in learning development for a long time. We always say, well, we need more resources. We don't have enough resources. But how are your resources contributing to the success of the organization, right? And how can you justify having another resource? And what impact is it going to make? So this way, the organization can say, yeah, I'll give you that additional expense, considering you're going to help us achieve additional revenue, right, to cover that expense. So all those things, I think, are important for people to understand. And then instead of just saying, I need more resources, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So where do you get your industry news and information?
So I don't have a particular preference. I kind of spatter around all different things. I have a bunch of mailing lists that I'm a member of. Training Pros happens to be one of them. But I would say LinkedIn is probably it's kind of my go-to. I'm a member of a few different communities there that are learning development, talent, OD related. Luckily, I work for an organization where we have partnerships with research firms like Gartner, as well as Brandon Hall, and we have a lot of information that we have at our disposal to be able to continue to stay connected with what's happening in the industry. So there's one other thing that I like to do, and take it for what it's worth. And one of the reasons why you and I continue to have such a strong relationship is because I love staying in touch with the vendors in the world. And I tell vendors all the time, I'm happy to talk to you, but understand that there's a good possibility I'm not going to buy anything from you, but you never know when I will, right? But in the meantime, I'd love to share with you what's happening in our business, and I'd love to learn about what you're doing and how it's impacting the industry. That's another way that I like to stay in touch with what's happening in the industry.
Well, as a vendor, I love to hear that, of course. It's definitely, there are a lot of vendors who have really great information to share. Not just, here's why you should buy our product. Here's what we're hearing. Here's the things we're hearing from other learning leaders. Here's what's going on in other businesses. So, and I use LinkedIn as well because it's a nice aggregated information about what people in my industry are talking about.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Last question. My favorite one, because it gives me my book list. What is one book every person wanting to be a learning leader should read?
The first book that comes to mind is The Advantage by Patrick Lencioni. And the reason why I say that, and that's when you are a leader, and even when you're becoming a leader, I think it's important. It's because Patrick, in the book, really does a good job of understanding the foundational things that it takes to be a successful leader. And one of the most critical things that it takes to be successful is building a good team around you. He's also written a book, The Five Dysfunctions of a Team, and that would be another book that I would recommend people read. And building a team is critical to your success. So how do you build that team? How do you get your team aligned around what it is that you're trying to achieve as an organization? And then he actually goes through three additional phases. So the first phase is building a team, then it's create clarity, and that's all about building your strategy and your vision and what it is that you're trying to, why do you exist as a team, as an organization? What is it that you're doing for society to help, you know, the broader community as well as the economy, right? So how are you contributing to the world? I think that's a critical component for people to really get clear about, and that getting an understanding of what your strategy is. And then from there, how do you make it happen? And unfortunately, you know, most business is the biggest struggle. And if you look at execution, it was written by Larry Bossidy. I actually happened to have worked during a time when Larry Bossidy was running Honeywell. So I lived a little bit of this real time. But the biggest gap between execution is the gap between identifying the strategy and getting alignment of that strategy in order to execute it. So I think Patrick does a really good job of helping everybody understand that as a leadership team, you have to be aligned. You have to be sharing the right and consistent message to all parts of the organization in order to really drive execution. And then how do you reinforce that clarity? How do you reinforce it through your hiring practices, to how you promote people, how you performance people out, how you reward people, some compensation? All of those things have to be connected to that strategy. And I think Patrick just gives a very, I say his name as if he's my friend, but I feel like he is.
Yeah,
he's been in my life for such a long time, so I feel like he's my friend. But the reality is that he gives such great guidance and practical guidance more than anything. And that's what I really like about the book. It's very practical.
Well, thank you for that recommendation. It's going to go into my Audible reading list. I love to listen to books while I walk and walk the dog and all that.
Yeah, you won't be disappointed.
Well, gosh, John, thank you so much. You were the very first person I asked to be a guest on the podcast.
I remember.
So happy we finally got you here. Thank you for taking some time out of your day to answer a few questions with us. As my thank you to you, I would like to plant 5 trees in your name in the Monarch Restoration Project. So the migration path of the monarchs going down through Mexico, we're planting trees there right now through our reforestation partner.
Oh, that's outstanding. I'm honored. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And thank you again for being on our episode this week. That does it for this episode of Learning Leader Spotlight. We hope you will tune in next week to hear from our next leader. Thanks very much.
Thanks for joining us for the latest episode of Learning Leader Spotlight, interviews with corporate L&D leaders. You'll find links in the show notes to any resources mentioned on today's show. If you're enjoying our podcast, please subscribe so you never miss an episode, and leave us a 5-star review.